This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump and Biden clash again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, October 23rd. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump and challenger Joe Biden debated for the second and final time last night. Here are some of the exchanges from Nashville.
Two U.S. intelligence agencies say foreign hackers have targeted dozens of state and local government computer networks since last month.
More states are reporting daily records of coronavirus infections, in part because of more testing. We'll have some data.
And when screen time before bedtime is actually okay for kids.
The prevailing wisdom for so long has been to turn off screens an hour before bedtime to kind of give your mind a chance to relax. What I learned is that it's really the content of the screen time that matters rather than the screen time itself and when the screens shut off.
Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal on content deemed acceptable before a child's bedtime. President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden differed significantly on a number of topics in their second and final debate of the campaign season. The first topic was on the deadly coronavirus. Mr. Biden pointed a finger at Mr. Trump.
He said, don't worry, it's going to go away. Be gone by Easter. Don't worry, the warm weather. Don't worry, maybe inject bleach. He said he was kidding when he said that, but a lot of people thought it was serious. A whole range of things the president has said. Even today, he thinks we are in control. We're about to lose 200,000 more people.
The president responded by pointing a finger elsewhere.
I take full responsibility. It's not my fault that it came here. It's China's fault. And you know what? It's not Joe's fault that it came here either. It's China's fault. They kept it from going into the rest of China for the most part, but they didn't keep it from coming out to the world, including Europe and ourselves.
The range of topics also included the economy, race, climate change, health care, and immigration. Each man is trying to persuade the few remaining undecided voters. An estimated 47 million Americans have already voted. The FBI and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency say that Russian government hackers have targeted dozens of state and local government and aviation computer networks since last month and stolen data from at least two servers. The agency said it could be an effort to undermine the election. Although they indicated there's no evidence that any election data has been compromised, the attacks may present some risk to election information housed on state and local government networks. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien.
This was the municipal level at the county or city level, and it was in a couple different municipalities, a very small number, two or three, across in different parts of the United States.
The warning is the latest in government alerts about possible election threats and comes a day after U.S. officials said that Iran and Russia are acting to influence public opinion during the presidential election. Russian officials have previously denied attempts to hack into U.S. computer networks. The 2020 election season already has provided enough October surprises to fill a piñata, but the would-be bombshells involving President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden have yet to pack much of a punch. It's a story by Valerie Richardson, politics reporter at The Washington Times. Valerie, why is this?
Yeah, you would think with all of the, you know, October surprises we've had already, I'm going to start with in September with the New York Times tax return release, the Bob Woodward book about Trump's COVID comments. Now you've got the Hunter Biden story, which just keeps rolling. You'd think that one of these would, you know, have moved the needle on the election, but so far, you know, the election's pretty entrenched. You don't see a lot of movement. You don't see any of these stories doing what you expect an October surprise to do, which is move them enough to make a difference.
Do we not trust the sources? Are we immune to it? What's happening?
I think that I think part of it is the fact that we just have such a fast-moving news cycle that stuff gets lost. I mean, that New York Times tax return story was really big for about 3 days, and then the debates hit, and then Trump got COVID, and next thing you know, it was all kind of lost in the shuffle. And I think one reason for that is that you know, A, 2020, frantic pace, lots going on, but B, Trump is kind of an expert at moving the news cycle, turning it over in a matter of a couple of days when there are stories that, you know, maybe aren't his favorite. I mean, he can turn over a news cycle like nobody else.
Yeah.
Now, I think where that's kind of hurting him in a sense is the Hunter Biden story. You know, this is a story he would love people to dwell on, but it's obviously still out there, particularly in the conservative media, but it's really not getting traction, you know, in the media overall, let's say the mainstream media.
Certainly I presume you get feedback saying, you're biased against the president, which is why you're not going with the story more. It's your fault. It's my fault.
Right. You've got the Biden campaign, you know, pushing back and, you know, saying it's been discredited. You've got some of the media outlets calling it a hoax, you know, this kind of thing. So there's kind of a war in the media going on with that right now, which obviously social media is involved with because they really suppressed the story.
Yeah. We're speaking with Valerie Richardson, national reporter at The Washington Times. Her piece is called October Surprises Pile Up, But Can't Captivate Public, which is different from 2016, correct?
Right, 2016. I mean, we had pretty much the same media environment in many ways in 2016, and yet the James Comey coming out and reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's State Department emails, I think at the time people were saying, no, this isn't really going to make a difference. And even right after the election, you had people saying that. But in retrospect, people are saying, yeah, it did make a difference. It dropped her lead by enough to put Trump in striking distance, and then sort of those uncounted below the radar voters did the rest.
Somebody too in your story, kind of fast forwarding back to 2020 here, said that we've been in election mode for a long time, so these
right.
things don't tend to gain traction because of that.
Yeah, I think the fact that we have been, you know, there's so much attention on elections. You know, we go into election mode like 2 years before before the voting day at this point. Plus, we've had really early voting this year. There's a lot more states doing that. So, you know, voting started in some places in September. So you got to move up the whole timetable, I think. And that's why I think you see some of these October surprises coming earlier and earlier. You could even argue that, you know, the protest riots all summer were, in a way, an October surprise. Mm. There's been so much news, COVID, you know, huge, that, you know, all of it is affecting the election. But I think that has, you know, because of all the, you know, the noise and the big news that we've had, it does, you know, make it tough for an actual October surprise, something right before the election that, you know, really helps or hurts a candidate to catch on with the public.
Any of the observers you talk to take a guess at what would actually move the numbers at this point with fewer than 2 weeks to go before Election Day?
I did hear some speculation, and the thing that I heard most frequently was, at this point, there's probably nothing Trump can do. But Biden, if Biden were to, you know, say something or have a, you know, a health episode, those are the kinds of things that could probably move voters, because they would play into the narrative that Biden's health isn't that great, or that, you know, he's makes outlandish statements, or, you know, his whole 200 million people have died of COVID statement, you know, that kind of thing.
Thanks, Valerie. Valerie Richardson, politics reporter at The Washington Times. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, visit planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Several states, many in the Midwest, are reporting record single-day increases in COVID-19 infections, further evidence that the pandemic is accelerating. Analysis from Reuters shows that Indiana, North Dakota, Illinois, Montana, Oklahoma, Utah, and Ohio posted daily records yesterday, while Florida reported more than 5,500 new cases, its highest single-day increase since mid-August. In hard-hit Illinois, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
bars that don't operate with a food license will no longer be permitted to serve customers inside.
28 states have reported their daily record high of COVID-19 cases in the month of October alone. Some of this is because of a significant expansion of testing. Meanwhile, the FDA yesterday formally approved remdesivir for treating patients hospitalized with COVID-19. It's the first drug officially approved for the disease in the U.S. Remdesivir from Gilead Sciences is an antiviral drug that's been in wide use under an emergency authorization. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
After a first debate that descended into chaos, the second and final debate between President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden was less confrontational, but there were still plenty of flashes of anger and division as they tackled issues including the pandemic, ethics, foreign policy, and racism. Trump touted his record on race.
Don't know what to say. I got criminal justice reform done and prison reform and opportunity zones. I took care of black colleges and universities. I don't know what to say.
Number two.
Biden's take on Trump's record.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire.
The candidates each touted themselves as the better candidate for black and Hispanic voters.
Number three.
Federal officials say Russian hackers have targeted an array of U.S. computer systems, including aviation and local government networks, where intrusions were detected on some systems containing election-related material. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien.
If there's access to one county voter registration database, that means that the bad guys are looking to do that, and maybe they're going to try and do it in other places as well. So it's something we're taking very seriously, even if it's in a limited circumstance.
While officials acknowledge that the activity posed some risk to elections information, there's no evidence to date that the integrity of election data has been compromised. The Senate Judiciary Committee has advanced Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court as Republicans unanimously voted to recommend that the full Senate approve her, paving the way for her confirmation on Monday. All 10 Democrats on the panel declined to appear at the proceedings to protest the Republican plan to fill the position just ahead of a presidential election. Well, we all know this has already been quite a year of unpredictability, and now we add to that with the birth of a green puppy, a tiny pooch, part of a five-dog litter born on the Mediterranean island of Sardinia, came out with green fur, believed to be a result of making contact with a green pigment while in the womb. The green color of the puppy, named Pistachio, will eventually fade away.
Great name.
Did you see this dog?
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
All wrinkly and green. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. Ever since research showed negative effects of light-emitting devices on melatonin production and therefore sleep, pediatricians and sleep experts have been advising families to shut off screens 1 hour before bedtime. But as work and school have spilled into the home and upended normal routines, Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal says we've learned now that not all screen time is the same, and a little before bed might not be bad. Julie, explain.
The prevailing wisdom for so long has been to turn off screens an hour before bedtime to kind of give your mind a chance to relax from the, you know, the light emitting devices that suppress melatonin. And so a lot of parents have followed that. But with the pandemic, it's become more difficult to have a firm cut off on screen time with, you know, work and school flowing into the home in a way that has not happened before, sometimes it's hard to follow that advice. So what I looked at was, you know, how much it would really affect people's sleep if they do watch something up until bedtime. And what I learned is that it's really the content of the screen time that matters rather than the screen time itself and when the screen's shut off.
Wow. All right. So what would be appropriate and what would be not appropriate for children?
Well, I mean, it's probably not surprising that watching a scary movie before bedtime might be harmful. But some recent studies showed that social media in particular has a pretty negative effect on sleep for adolescents. There was just a new study conducted on that. And that may not feel too surprising either. But what they found is that, you know, scrolling social media, especially for teenagers, can lead to feelings of being compared to with your peers and lead to some stress about that, or you know, endlessly seeing the bad news online and on social media feeds can cause people to ruminate, and that's true for adults too. And those things can be mentally stimulating and therefore hard to kind of turn off your mind and relax at night. What was somewhat surprising, though, that study found is that playing video games before bedtime was not shown to have any effect on sleep, and neither was watching television. So I think things that might just trigger emotions obviously are bad, but maybe things that are a little bit more pleasurable for people and not as, you know, engaging. I mean, video games are certainly engaging, but maybe in a good way for many kids.
Yeah,
it really depends on what you're watching before bedtime.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "Screens Before Bed Are Okay for Kids, Just Keep It Calm." You mentioned too some signs that kids may not be getting a good sleep at night because of perhaps screen time. What are they?
Right. So if you know if kids are being sort of defiant, cranky, you know, before, you know, during the day, and there aren't other reasons for those kind of issues, it could be a sign that they're not sleeping well at night. And so it might be a good time then to examine, you know, what their bedtime is and what their pre-bedtime habits are. So, but experts say if they are sleeping well, if they're getting enough sleep for their age, but they are watching some content before bedtime, then great. Don't worry about that 1 hour shut off rule.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Chances are you're spending too many hours of your day and fees out of your pocket doing business banking the old-fashioned way. It's 2020. There's got to be a better, more affordable solution. There is. It's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. And now there's the all-new Aslo Pro Bundle, with unlimited envelopes to organize your money, discounted instant transfers, and the ability to set up recurring invoices, all for just $10 a month. But because you're listening to this podcast, you can try Aslo Pro free for 14 days at aslo.com/deal. Learn more with a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide, or get started right now with an Aslo Pro free 14-day trial at aslo.com/deal. There's no minimum deposit required. Get started for free at aslo.com/deal. That's AZLO.com. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC. aslo.com/deal.
The top national stories with the context to make sense of it all. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, October 23. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump and Biden debate for the final time. Another warning about Russian hacking. First time jobless claims fell below 800,000. Walmart suing the federal government to head off potential opioid penalties. California appeals court says Uber and Lyft must classify drivers as employees. iPhone 12 and 12 Pro on sale today. Sports: Eagles edge the Giants in Thursday Night Football. World Series Game 3 tonight. Latest Borat movie out today on Amazon Prime. And the new Hess toy truck. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. A combination of COVID-19 and plunging oil prices have caused states' tax revenues to drop, not surprisingly, during the 6 months from the first pandemic shutdowns in March through the end of August. More from Michael Braga, investigations editor at USA Today's Money Desk. Michael, what do we know?
Well, the state tax collections for the period between March and August of this year compared to last year are down 6%. That's about $30 billion compared to 2019.
If I were betting, I don't think that's what I would have guessed. I thought it would have been worse, even though obviously it's a big number.
Right. Everybody was predicting that it would be much worse when the coronavirus hit. 6%, they were predicting 10 to 20%. And it's not as big as the drop-off in the 12 months from October 2008 to September 2009, right around when Lehman Brothers collapsed during the Great Recession. So it's about half of that. But economists still say that it's a significant decline, and one that has already resulted in job cuts, state government job cuts in places like Ohio, and that may result in more job cuts in the year ahead.
So back up for just a second then, the $30 billion in lost revenue, that wasn't worse, perhaps because of some of the government assistance, the stimulus money?
That's part of it. I mean, part of it is because, you know, that the stimulus money, the $600 unemployment benefits, the $1,200 check, that all came in to people and is taxable. So that helped a lot. The help that was given to small businesses, all of that helped a great deal. There weren't as many high-income people that lost their jobs, and also the stock market remained high, so that there weren't capital gains losses that translated into income taxes that were lost.
Yeah.
So those sort of things helped a great deal. Still, you still have a pretty considerable loss that states will have to make up somehow. Either they cut services or they cut taxes. And then not every state was hurt in the same way. Some were hurt more than others.
We're speaking with Michael Braga, investigations reporter and editor with USA Today's Money Desk, and he's written a piece entitled "With Stimulus Stalled, Shortfalls in Tax Revenues Leave States Facing Layoffs and Service Cuts." So you referenced some of these layoffs and service cuts. I mean, is that all that's available? Is that all that's out there, those levers to pull, as they say?
Well, they could also raise taxes, but I don't think many people want to do that while unemployment is still so high. That's probably the last thing they want to do. A lot of states are hoping that there will be a federal stimulus package, but the idea of providing stimulus money to states is probably the most controversial part of a stimulus package. The Republicans have balked with regard to that since Nancy Pelosi first suggested it back in May. She wanted $1 trillion, and that's obviously way too much. $150 billion would be very nice at the moment, but still that might be too much for Mitch McConnell, who doesn't really want anything going to the states at all. He'd rather, at least what he says, and this might be a bargaining tactic. What he said early on was he'd prefer the states to go bankrupt.
Right. Which are the states that are hurting the most under this lost tax revenue?
Well, dollar-wise, the states with the greatest population, California, Texas, Florida, and New York, have had the greatest drop in tax collection. Percentage-wise, it's been Oregon and Florida. Alaska is one of them. Mm. So you've got two sort of things that are going on at the same time. There's the COVID phenomenon, which cut sales tax revenues in April and March and some of May, and then the recession where people are no longer going out to dinner and they're not going to movie theaters and hotels are down, and that's still affected. That's the COVID phenomenon.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Braga, investigations editor at USA Today's Money Desk. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Josh, what are Michigan's best selling points?
The biggest selling point for Michigan is our pure Michigan quality of life. We also have a diverse and abundant workforce and a business-friendly environment that we think is unmatched. It's also very connected to global supply chain assets. And through a comprehensive suite of programs and services, we can help businesses grow here in this state and also help provide access to our highly skilled workforce, where we have the highest concentration of engineers and some of the greatest skilled trades talent as well. Here in Michigan, we make things, and we think we can be the convergence of technology and manufacturing, and there is no better place to bring your idea or product from concept to reality than here in Michigan.
To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. Thanks for spending time with us. And welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, this comes as a little surprise to a couple of Garden State natives, but New Jersey, Gordon, has been named the most hated state in America, according to some new analysis. The study was carried out by lifestyle website Best Life, looking at a number of factors to determine the rankings, including U.S. Census Bureau statistics. The rankings also incorporated data from Instagram, asking followers to identify which state they were from, followed by which state they liked the least. Texas, California, Oklahoma, and Florida rounded out the top five, by the way. Idaho, home of the viral video star Nathan Apodaca, was the least hated state in the study. And in case you're wondering who hates New Jersey the most, look no further than its neighbors. Residents of New York, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut had the harshest feelings toward the Garden State.
Is that right?
Is it wrong that I love everything about this? I love that we're still the most hated state in the country and have been pretty much our entire lives, right?
Right.
You know, that our neighbors hate us the most.
Right.
You know, there's nothing about this that doesn't make me smile. I wear it as a badge of honor,
right,
to be honest with you.
Right. Here's something. if you don't like us, New York and Pennsylvania, stay out.
Right.
Go. Guess what? You're not needed here in the summer for our beaches. No, go to your own beaches.
Yes.
Yeah, enjoy the 4 hours of traffic on Long Island. You'll love it. Just stay away, that's all.
Yeah, especially stay off the highways, out of the left lane of the highways.
Yes, and Pennsylvania, keep running your mouth, Pennsylvania. We'll just acquire you. Right. How do you like that? We'll just acquire you.
Firing the salvo. Yeah, I love this.
Listen, 8 million people live here. That's enough.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
in our 3 square miles of property here in New Jersey. We got enough people.
It's Friday. We're all fired up here. And moving now to a football team that fittingly calls itself New York, but actually plays in New Jersey. It was a battle for who is the least bad in the NFC East on Thursday Night Football last night, with the Giants taking on the Eagles in Philly. Now, the Giants lost the game, but scored the most memorable play of the game for all the wrong reasons. In the third quarter, quarterback Daniel Jones managed to escape from the pocket and sprint 80 yards downfield with no defenders anywhere near him, only to be tripped up by his own legs and fall to the ground short of scoring a touchdown. Thankfully, the Giants wound up scoring a few plays later, but by then, Jones's fate as the butt of social media jokes was already cast. He did get some backhanded support, however, from a prominent NFL QB. Patrick Mahomes took to Twitter and wrote, "I mean, I can't even say anything because I would never be able to run that far either." Followed by no less than 4 crying, laughing emojis.
Oh, man.
We're being mocked.
I feel terrible.
As a Giants fan, we're being mocked by everyone.
Yep, it's terrible. I feel like that's a tall guy thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
I felt for him, no doubt.
Well, he's like 6'4", and remarkably fast.
Yes.
He's extremely athletic, but, man, you start seeing the end zone, it looks like an ocean, right, with nobody around you. There's nobody who's going to catch him.
I was having flashbacks.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I did that like in a pickup football game once, you know, scored, had a wide open catch and fell before I hit the end zone.
Yeah.
So I feel for him on this one.
Oh, man, that is just going to be the source of lots of emojis today. You know what the one's going to be? Starting Monday. And the caption of Daniel Jones will be, "Heading into Monday like."
Yes.
And then there's the picture of him running and falling down.
Working on it as we speak.
13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
For the ones working tirelessly to keep their coworkers safe, for the ones rising to new challenges, for the ones rebuilding stronger than before, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, and 24/7 support. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Some places, $15 is not so bad. In other places, other states, $15
would be
ruined.
Okay, President Trump.
There is no evidence that when you raise the minimum wage, businesses go out of business. That is simply not true.
Some of the exchanges from last night's final debate between President Trump and Joe Biden. Jennifer will have more on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, as the health crisis continues to rage across the country and more temporary job losses become permanent, a small but growing number of laid-off and working Americans in hard-hit industries like restaurants, retail, and travel are switching to new careers or occupations. USA Today profiled Christian Meza of Pacific, Washington, who relished his job as a bartender even after COVID sidelined him. But by July, the 34-year-old realized he couldn't survive on $25 a shift. So in August, he enrolled in a 14-week software programming boot camp offered by Coding Dojo. By the time he graduates next month, he'll apply for jobs that typically pay upwards of $75,000 a year. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
After a raucous first debate led organizers to introduce a mute button, the second and final meeting between President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden was more civil, even as they clashed on issues including the coronavirus, crime, global warming, and ethics. Biden criticized Trump for not releasing his taxes.
Show us. Just show us. Stop playing around. You've been saying for 4 years you're going to reduce your taxes. Nobody knows it, Mr. President. What they do know is you're not paying your taxes.
Number two.
Trump says Biden would set the economy back with coronavirus closures.
He wants to close down. He'll close down the country if one person in our massive bureaucracy says we should close it down.
50 million votes have already been cast.
Number three.
The U.S. reported more than 60,000 new coronavirus cases for the second day in a row as the spread continues to accelerate in most states. On Wednesday, 24 states recorded more than 1,000 new cases. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She says the increase is quite startling. She called it breathtaking. Meanwhile, the FDA has approved the antiviral drug remdesivir as a treatment for patients with COVID-19 who require hospitalization. Previously authorized by the FDA for emergency use only, the drug from Gilead Sciences is now the first and only approved COVID-19 treatment in the U.S. Both House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and White House officials are defending their continuing negotiations over a coronavirus relief package amid signs it has no path to becoming law before the election. The nearly $2 trillion package under discussion between Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin faces resistance in the GOP-controlled Senate. Pelosi says she and Mnuchin continue to chip away at their differences. Bah humbug. Yet another thing ruined by the pandemic. Macy's says Santa Claus won't be greeting kids at its flagship New York store this year, interrupting a holiday tradition started nearly 160 years ago. And more than a quarter of a million people come to see Santa at Macy's in New York each year.
Come on. Seriously with this? Man. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. The 2020 Hess truck is a fitting coincidence. The latest version of the annual holiday toy features an ambulance that comes with a small rescue truck inside of it. And the fuel supplier is dedicated to the first responders who fought against the coronavirus pandemic. It's the first ambulance, by the way, in the toy's 56-year history. However, the company is leaning into it with a campaign on its social media outlets, asking people to post photos of their personal heroes from across the spectrum of first responders and essential workers with the hashtag ThankYouFirstResponders. The trucks feature a combined 96 lights, the most in Hess truck history, 4 sirens, and fortunately for parents and guardians, a mute button. The Hess truck was first sold at Hess stations in 1964 for how much? $1.99. Some models now are worth thousands of dollars today as collectibles. It's being made available earlier than usual this year due to potential supply issues caused by the pandemic. Online only for sales. The price, $36.99. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.